Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. On today's special IHSAA sectional edition of the Coach K and Joe Show, this week's guest, Jasper Athletic Director Andy Noblin, Southridge Boys Basketball Coach Jeremy Roush, Bar Reeves Travis Madison, Northeast DuBois Boys Basketball Coach Terry Friedman, Jasper Boys Basketball Coach John Gable, Indy Hoops Correspondent Don Schulteis, and DC Broadcasting Sports Director Kurt Gutzel. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schulteis.
Hello, I'm Joe Milligan, and welcome to this edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm joined, as always, by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach, sectional weekend, I'm sure that you're just all hyper.
Well, it's really an exciting time around the state of Indiana. Pardon my voice a little bit today. I've got a little bit of a congestion in my throat, but that doesn't change the fact that it's Sectional Friday. And, you know, Sectional Friday, you're going into this weekend. It comes down to the cream rising to the top, the player who's going to be the clutch player. It may be the guy you never thought of, who's going to go cold, who's going to hit their free throws, who's going to make a mistake on defense, is the offense going to show up. But you're playing to get into Saturday night's championship game. If you don't win, you go home, and that's the bottom line, and that's why Friday is so exciting. And if there's going to be some upsets, it'll be on Friday.
Yeah, you know, we've seen some great games through the years, you know, some that you've even coached in, you know, and they were nail-biters. I remember what I call the Bayman-Roland game, and, you know, that was something.
That was a great game. We came out on the short end. Bayman hit like 15 straight free throws, and I know people today say, well, was that the plan to foul him all the time? No, it really wasn't. They just kept getting the ball into his hands. But I've been in other games. When I was at Washington Catholic, we were down 15 with 2 minutes and 20 seconds left in the game. And like most fans, you give up, but we didn't. And we were trading threes from Ty Madison for missed free throws by the other team, which was at the time Bar Eve. So that was a great win. We ended up winning it, believe it or not. Down 15 with 225 left in the game. But it's a great weekend, and we'll be talking to a lot of coaches. And you know, we also got to mention some Big Ten stuff because a lot of our listeners from around the Midwest are Big Ten fans. How about, you know, IU's loss at Minnesota? They got rebounded terribly, and that pretty much was the game. But probably the shocker, and I know Josh Houchen is not going to be happy about this, Michigan losing to Penn State.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure he was very disappointed in that game, and he's. I was kind of shocked. You know, Penn State really hadn't shown much life all year, and for them to pull that victory out, I mean, with Michigan having so much to play for, was just kind of amazing.
Yeah, and you kind of got to wonder about that. You know, I call that a. It really wasn't a gut check game from the standpoint of a great opponent. Here's Penn State. I believe they had not won a Big Ten game. IU has lost. It really puts Michigan in a position to get back in the race. They still are thought well of nationally. But the thing that everybody I know what listeners are saying, here he goes again with a no low post game. Hey, folks, I told you this team is not built for the length of a season. And I wonder if it's built for the length of a tournament run. When you got to depend on your outside shooting or your dribble penetration all the time, you're going to struggle. They're not defending right now. They don't have a way to go inside. That to me was a gut check game because it's a game that here the door was open for them. The opportunity to get back in the race, and they don't get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, they had their opportunity, and, you know, just you know, going to fall short now. So,
going to be number one, Joe. Who's going to be number one? I know who's going to be number one. IU loses. Gonzaga was number two. They won last night by five against BYU. Whether you think or anyone in this country thinks that they should be the number one team based on their conference or their strength of schedule, let me just say this. They're ranked number two. They've taken on all comers. They've went all over the country to play people, all over the country. They don't have the benefit of all the home games. They've gone all over the country to play people. They should be, and deservedly so, as the number two ranking, the number one ranking come next week.
Yeah, I think they deserve it. I mean, they don't shy away from tough competition. And, you know, their conference might not be the greatest, but you know what? You can't help that. All you can do is try to play the hardest schedules possible and go from there.
Well, I think they deserve it. I think they have, you know, for 10 years, would you say about 10 years, they've been banging on the door of being a top-tier team. Started with Dan Munson, who went on to Minnesota, and I think now he's at San Jose State or somewhere like that. But Mark Few's come in and just done a great job. He's been consistent. They've recruited differently than a lot of the people around the country. They've gone overseas and brought a lot of those players in, and they've just done a great job of building a solid program that says, hey, you know we're not considered the big major, but we'll go anywhere, we'll play anybody. We think we're going to get better, and we think eventually you'll see that we're better, and Gonzaga will be the number one team. We've also got the girls' state finals going on this weekend, and Mater Dei from Evansville will be playing in that in the 2A, and I'm assuming they will do pretty well. But state finals, boys, state finals, girls, the tournament's in full gear. So coming up next on the show, and Joe's going to contact him, the IHSAA has recently, in the last few days, brought out their enrollment projections for the next couple of years. And the reason that becomes important, if you're a listener in the state, you probably know that. But if you're a listener outside of our state, we have class sports now in Indiana, unfortunately. But it is what we have. And every couple years, they realign the classes because they look at enrollments, projected enrollments of the schools, freshman through senior, I believe. And those enrollments have come out. So football is looked at a certain way, and then baseball, basketball, softball, and volleyball is looked at a certain way, and soccer is looked at a certain way. And our guest today coming up is going to be Jasper Athletic Director Andy Noblett. And Andy's going to talk a little bit with us about enrollment, how that works, and how that's going to affect Jasper going forward. Jasper's enrollment has continued to grow over the last few years, and they've been right on the line when it comes to basketball in 3A, 4A. And I'm not sure if the tipping point's going to come this year or not, but they could conceivably go up to 4A, and hopefully Andy will be able to shed some of the light on that and whether that's going to affect other schools in the area. But, you know, we're dealing with some schools in the Indianapolis area that are moving towards 5,000 students in enrollment. And that's a huge jump, especially when you get into football. So you've got probably four or five schools, actually two schools sitting at over 4,600. You've got five, six schools, over 3,000, and then it starts to pare down from there. And most of those are in the Indianapolis area, so, and some up in the, looks like the Gary area. But that's a big difference when it comes to the number of athletes you have to choose from and that kind of thing. So Joe is back with Athletic Director Andy Noblett from Jasper. Andy's joining us, and how are we doing today, Mr. AD?
We're doing great.
You're getting ready for a sectional semifinal game tonight, and I know you've got a lot going, and I'm sure you're pretty excited around the high school that the Cats are still in the sectional tournament. They'll be taking on Mitchell tonight over at Washington.
Yeah, we're excited for a very good Mitchell team. I think our coaches realize that their record is not exactly evident of the way they can play, and we're looking for a good night.
So does still being in the tournament keep you pretty busy?
Yeah, absolutely, it does. Ticket requests are always there, and making sure our transportation is set up, make sure the team gets there in plenty of time, and also making sure our cheerleaders are in, for the game time as well. It's pretty, it's a lot different than coaching, that's for sure.
You're wearing a lot of different hats, Mr. Noblet. I understand that very well. Hey, today we wanted to talk with you a little bit about the IHSA enrollment release, and I don't know how specific we can get as far as how it's going to affect Jasper per se, but the enrollment figures came out from the IHSA this past week, and looking at it, you know, we've obviously got a situation going on in the Indianapolis area where we've got schools approaching 5,000 in enrollment, and then we've got a number of schools that, you know, go all the way down to 77. So it's a big difference, and that was one of the big reasons that class sports came into being. But as you look at the enrollment, Andy, can you give our listeners both in Indiana and outside of Indiana an understanding to your ability of how the IHSA is approaching this most recent release?
Well, the new release has two different sections in there. It's got a football section, and it's also got a basketball, volleyball, and baseball, softball section. And when we look at our football hasn't changed very much. But as we look at the four classes in the softball, baseball, and volleyball. We in those sections, we are very close to the line that was drawn at least 2 years ago. 2 years ago, there were 407 schools that were reclassified in those four sports, and when they did that, 101 teams were placed in both 4A, 3A, and 2A, and the rest of the teams then were in single A. And as the numbers came down from the IHSA a couple days ago, now there are 406 schools, and the 101st school on there is Jasper High School. So at this point, we are directly on the line that was drawn last year, or 2 years ago.
Yeah, and when I looked at the enrollment figures and I saw that Jasper was directly on the line, New Palestine happens to be number 100, and I guess they were 100 before that, but Jasper went from 106, it looks like, to 101, and nobody has a crystal ball, but it looks like in the past they've tried to divide these schools pretty equally as far as the number of teams in each class. Do you, if that is the case again this year, do you foresee Jasper moving into that 4A class?
Yeah, based on the numbers that are shown there, I can't imagine that the IHSA is going to change very much. The one thing that is a little bit different between 2 years ago and this year is that there are going to be teams that are going to be bumped up from different classes because of the move-up rule based on your success. And the IHSA calls that the success factor. So the IHSA at some point is going to have to take into account a few of those schools that will be bumping up in individual sports. So where they will draw that line, we really don't know. But in a week and a half, I believe the IHSA will be able to draw those three lines, and we're going to find out if we truly are going to stay with some of the schools we have played against in the past, or if we will move into possibly a 4A sectional where we would travel to Evansville or possibly over in the Louisville area.
So if Jasper would go to 4A, and, you know, I won't even get into the success rule bump-up deal. That's for another show we can talk about and have you back. I just think it's getting crazy out there. But if they go up to 4A, there's a possibility that they would probably, Jasper would join the North sectional in Evansville.
That is correct. And with all four or five of those sports, that easily could happen.
Yeah, and North sectional this year is a five-team sectional. So that would bring Jasper in as a sixth team. Of course, Harrison is in that sectional. Wrights, North, it's a pretty solid group. Central, it's a pretty solid group. Castle. Now, moved over by the Louisville area, what sectional would that be?
Well, that would be included with Bedford, Jeffersonville, Jennings County, also with New Albany and Floyd Central. So another very good basketball sectional, definitely the case even more in volleyball if we went that direction, and softball is also pretty good over there.
Now, from a baseball standpoint, you know, Jasper's always been able to host a lot of events in different sports. How does that affect you in baseball?
Well, it really makes us very nervous because it has been a traditional sectional site, and if we would get sent to either Evansville or Louisville, having five teams travel an hour instead of one team traveling an hour would be a very difficult thing to convince the schools in the sectional that it would be worth to do that. We will do our best, I'm sure, that if it comes to that, to try to encourage those teams, because, again, if those teams win, there's one likely site for a regional and a semi-state, and that would be at Jasper.
Now, is there any opportunity once that they make the decisions on classes, is there any opportunity to appeal the process?
I do not believe so. The IHSAA sometimes has to, but depending on if schools possibly would no longer cease to exist, that they can do that. I know that situation has happened in the past, but I don't believe there is a protocol for that.
Now, you've had to sit there with – I've been at Jasper, and I know how competitive we are, and I know how we like to know where we're going and what are the possibilities. I'm sure – I'd be surprised if not. I'm sure that a number of coaches and the fans that are really involved, and you as administrator and the administrative team, principal, assistant principals, have kind of looked at that, maybe gone over different possible scenarios. This would put us in. This would keep us where we're at. This looks like it would move us up. What's your gut feeling? And I'm not going to hold you to it, neither are listeners, but – based on what you've seen, and folks, if you're interested in going to see the enrollments, you can go to the IHSAA.org, and you can go on there, and it'll click on the enrollment news release, and you'll be able to see all the different enrollments for all the schools throughout the state. But getting back to my original thought, Andy, you've played for me. You know how I can digress. What's your gut feeling at this point about Jasper moving up in basketball, baseball, softball, and volleyball from 3A to 4A?
I think our gut feeling is that the IHSA isn't going to change very much of what they have done in the past. They're going to try to make these divisions as equal as possible. And if I had to guess today, I would be in my 4A guess probably that we would move up, and it'll be quite a challenge for our listeners. Jasper's getting bigger, and our school is continuing to grow. We were up about 70 students from last time that we reclassified, so things in Jasper are going very well. And as we progress and added on to our building, we've been able to take on these students that we've picked up. And also, I don't see the numbers declining at this time either. I think we've got big classes coming for the next 4 or 5 years. So if we would get put into 4A, then I don't think we're going to see a lot of changes from that. We're going to be there for a while.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at the pros or cons, and obviously you're going to be playing great competition in 4A, all the schools, whether you go towards Louisville or whether you go towards Evansville, they've got great traditions, they've got good solid programs. Evansville is sometimes hit or miss in some of the programs, but right now Harrison's strong, North is improving, Central knocked off Castle has a solid program, all the schools involved down there seem to be hitting what I call an upstride basketball-wise. We'll have to see how that continues. Their schools continue to grow as well. But I think what concerns me, if I'm the IHSAA, if I'm an athletic director, if I've got to worry about the coffers, is Jasper has always been known for good attendance, but we haven't had to drive an hour or an hour plus to get to the sites for the tournament unless we go up a level, and that usually hits somewhere in the semi-state or above. But I've got to feel that you've got that little bit of an angst in the back of your mind is, you know, what does that do to our attendance come tournament time, that type of thing.
Yeah, I would think that the people in Evansville, if we came that way, would be excited for us to join because we do have such a good following in our athletics. But, you know, that drive is something different for our, especially for our traditional folks. They're able to walk to Ruxer Field, a lot of them from downtown. Also, being able to be in the Southridge or Washington sectional, only driving a half hour for basketball. And oftentimes we're hosting the girls' basketball. We've also hosted not only the sectional in volleyball, but all the way up through the semi-state traditionally. So all of those changes and the IHSA's willingness to spread those kind of things around, yeah, definitely makes you a little bit nervous and also kind of keeps us on our toes to make sure that we're doing everything we can to show that we have an interest in hosting events and trying to get people to come into our city and enjoy what we have here.
Well, nobody hosts them any better, and Jasper's been doing it for years and years and years. If there was a tournament, a lot of times people didn't step up in the early days. And Don Noblett and before Ed Schulteis and Denny Lewis after Ed Schulteis and now Andy Noblett, Jasper's willing to step up and host those tournaments and does a great job with its facilities, with its supervision. And you know, I've kind of always looked at it this way, Andy, is if we're hosting the tournament and we've got people coming into town, that's good for the community. But it's also, if we're still alive in the tournament, that's even better for us because it's like a home game at Jasper. So it is disconcerting in that regard. The other thing that bothers me, and I know we just got a couple minutes left in this segment, but the other thing that bothers me is I really feel like there's a lack of clear understanding by the IHSA of what they're doing to the overall tournament fan base, rivalry, emotion that ties people to sports and gets them out in the gym. And the more you move people around, the more you change up venues, the more you change up the teams that participate in the venue, you never get a true emotional connection from the fan base. And let's face it, the thing that has made the IHSA tournament so great in all sports over the years, it's not just the great coaching, it's not just the outstanding play, but it's the wonderful fan base that made our state different than every other state in the country. And that's, I know you've got to watch what you say, but I just think it erodes it because there's too much movement, too much displacement.
Well, on our end, we like to see our numbers and our fans be able to kind of have an idea of where we're going and how things are progressing. The more question marks you put in people's head, I agree with you, the less likely they are to be able to keep up, especially in our world today with as much change that goes on. Something that was always steady was having an idea that Jasper was going to either be playing at Southridge or Washington in our basketball tournament, and everybody knew they were going to go one direction or the other. And as those kind of things kind of creep into people's mind, I would agree with you that from a fan's perspective, they're not going to be sure who's in the tournament, who's not in the tournament. It's going to take a lot more effort on their part in order to keep up, to make sure that they know why they're going or when they're going. Oftentimes, you know, our numbers here at Jasper can tie back to good Jasper teams or with tremendous individuals who have played for other teams, and we see an upslide in our attendance when people know certain people are going to be on that floor. And for example, we're going to have Evansville Modern Day in volleyball. If we'd stay in 3A, Evansville Modern Day all of a sudden, in basketball, is going to bump up to that 3A because of two consecutive trips to the state finals. So yeah. Will we see Modern Day? Last year when we hosted Modern Day, our numbers were up. People in Jasper are very aware that Modern Day has got a very good player in the Munsterman girl. And whenever people are able to kind of follow that and have an idea of when those players are going to be there, they tend to show up. And that's one thing that we have to look at as athletic directors, and how do we get that word out to our fans so that we are aware of what's coming our way and where are we going, and do a better job on our end to make sure that we're communicating that information to our fan base.
Two more quick questions, Andy. First one is, how would this affect the girls' basketball seating if you move up to 4A? Where would they go on that tournament?
Well, again, I think it's going to come down to matchups, but I think they would go to Evansville as well. With the magic number of six, the IHSA tries to get 16 fields in their sectional, and with Evansville right now at five and no move-ups because they're already in 4A, I would suspect we would go that direction as well.
Well, I really think that, you know, Coach Ernie's done a great job with his program. I think they'll be very competitive and can be successful at that level. So, but it's just the change. It's the difficulty of the change. It's the difficulty of the travel. And you made the statement, and I understand the IHSAA, you know, one team traveling an hour is going to have more merit than five teams traveling an hour. So that makes perfect sense. Last question while I've got you. A lot of people out there driving by the high school, they see that new building going up, addition, and that's the new gym. Can you give us a little bit of insight on where things are at on the gym and how things are progressing?
I'll tell you what, that is probably the most fun topic for us to discuss. I'm in there every day. I get to see all the workers that are in there. First of all, I'd like to thank all those people who are making sure that this gym stays on schedule. It's tremendous to see the work ethic of the guys that are in there and some of the ladies that are in there, making sure things get painted, making sure that electrical outlets are in the right place, and making sure the scoreboards are going to be in the right place. I think that's a huge part of being able to thank those people. And then secondly, I hope that we're going to get a new experience for our fans and for our guests. We're trying to make things a little bit easier to get into. We now have a main front entryway that opens up to St. Charles Street, just like the main part of our building. We're also encouraged by having an upstairs that is permanent seating. There are nine rows of permanent seats in kind of a bowl shape that hopefully will make fans excited to be able to be above the lower crowd. They're actually raised, which means they're about 5 feet higher than the walkway that's in front of them, so people can sit in the front row and can, even if you're in the upper deck, you can see clearly and people aren't walking in front of you. We've also placed gates to allow people to go from the main level down into their seat rather than having to go down onto floor level. So we're hopefully going to clear up some of the congestion that was always down on the floor that some schools, and especially our school, was dealing with all of the lower doors that were there. A lot of people have asked the question about our baskets. Are we going to go to the NBA-style basket? We are not. We're going to continue to have our baskets from the ceiling. They're going to come down, and then we can put those away for other events. Also, the lower section is a bowl shape. It has only three exits, one on the south end and two on the north end. And, again, trying to make a better feel like a lot of the experiences that people have had at the Cabbie for the last 2 years.
Well, it sounds like exciting stuff, and I can't wait to get in there. I know my dad, Ed Schultheis, former coach of Jasper and AD, we're both planning on driving up there soon and getting a tour from the current AD. So we're pretty excited about it. Andy, we'll probably have you back in a couple weeks to talk about the final enrollment decisions and the class decisions. I appreciate all you've been able to share with us today, and good luck tonight at Washington.
Well, I do want to call you Coach, so I do appreciate all of your efforts whenever I was in high school, and definitely think back to a lot of good memories that I was able to experience at Jasper High School, and hopefully we're providing those kind of things for our kids today.
I'm sure you are. Thanks for being with us, Andy.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
It's a P.I.G. pig.
See if you can guess what I am now. I'm a zit. Get it?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show. This is Joe Milligan. Coach, I'll tell you what, Coach Roush is going to be joining us shortly. He's going to be calling in. He is at the baby doctor, and the appointment was going a little over, and so he texted me and said he's going to be calling in just a few minutes.
Wow, the baby doctor and a sectional semifinal tonight. That's a
yep,
big day.
And a big game. I mean, Perry Central or Southridge, that's going to be one of the biggies of the area, I think. You know, going
to
be
yeah,
great.
And I don't want to talk about it with you. I don't want to spoil it for the fans, so we'll wait for Coach to get back with us.
Yeah.
I think we can just spend a couple minutes just touching base on our discussion with Andy Noblet, Jasper's athletic director. He did a great job, by the way. Gave us a lot of great information. It will be interesting. I think he really feels like Jasper will move into the 4A class for baseball, basketball, softball, and volleyball.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to be some good competition. And, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But, you know, I'm a single-class proponent still to this day. And, you know, we've got some rivalries with some of them schools. But, you know, when we lost the Southridges and the Du Bois and the Forest Parks, then we went and we do kind of have rivalries with what we do with Vincennes and Washington and Heritage Hills. And now it's going to be, you know, even a little bit more of a stretch for actual rivalries.
Well,
I guess maybe we can build them as time goes on. But,
the difficult thing on all that, Joe, for our listeners is generations of fans developed an emotional tie to high school basketball the way it was in Indiana. And that's why if you go to our website or go to Facebook, to the Coach K and Joe Show on Facebook, go to our page. First of all, like it. We appreciate that. But you'll see a number of pictures from the Southridge section when Jasper played in that. And you can just see how crowded it was, how packed it was. So to lose that is difficult, but that's something we can discuss later on. It sounds like Coach is back with us from the baby doctor, and we'll be able to talk. Well, that's probably the most important thing, but we'll be able to talk about the second most important thing, which is Southridge getting ready to play Perry Central tonight.
Coach, are you with us?
Hello.
Go ahead, Coach. This is Coach K, Ken Schulteis. I know the baby doctor was very important. We'll put that number one. But you got a big game tonight. You kind of been sitting there waiting this week. And I've told our listeners in the past that when I was coaching, I hated to have the Tuesday game because if by chance you got beat on Tuesday, you had to sit there all week and it just continued to fester in you. And then you had to go through the weekend. But when you got the weekend game, you have to wait, you have to get ready, but you don't have to worry about feeling festering whether you won or lost during the week. So tonight you got a big game against a very good team, Perry Central. Just to start out the conversation, Coach, let's go back. You played them earlier in the year, and please take this with a grain of salt. Score-wise, it looked like a thumping. Perry Central's a pretty solid club. That was a long time ago. That was a couple months ago. When you look at that game, where you guys were then, where you are now, just a couple things about where you were the first time you played Perry Central.
Sure. They like you said, they got us pretty good. And up to that point, we had only lost one game and was playing pretty decent basketball. And since that time, our identity has kind of changed a little bit. And for the better, up to that point, we were fast-paced, run-and-gun, press as often as we can, and then we run into those guys, and they do it a lot better than us. So, you know, they pressed us, they wore us out, and we knew that we had to change something, you know. So kind of back to the drawing board, and not, nothing too drastic, but we knew we wanted to execute more in the half court. We had to have more calls and less just play out of things, because that's what they did. They wanted you to, they wanted to speed you up and take you out of what you wanted to do, and they did a really good job of it. And they've obviously they've done a good job of it 19 other times also.
Yeah, they've got a nice club, and I've been able to see your club a few times, and I've got to tell you, you've got a nice club, and a very good friend of mine, a former assistant coach for me, and I believe a mentor for you, Coach Andy Eigel, was down to watch you guys play North Posey the other night, and he feels really good about your club at this point. And I want to just mention something you talked about for our listeners. I think that's the mark of a coach that understands that you've always got to look to evolve. You don't have to change everything, but you need to expand and evolve as a team by looking at your personnel, what you do, what others may do against you. And the fact that you looked at that Perry Central game and said, you know, we've got to adjust a little bit, we've got to evolve a little bit. And I've always said this, when you get into the tournament, you better be able to handle a couple styles of play, because you're definitely going to see it. And it sounds like you're putting your team in a position to be more than just one thing, not a chameleon, but one that can adjust and handle changes as they come along.
Sure. You know, with our identity, our foundation of it is always, as probably most teams, is play hard, play tough, be physical. And that doesn't, style of play doesn't have to dictate that. You know, but when we say we want to make them work in the half court, or if we want to, like you said, evolve from them, I think that also gives our guys a little more confidence in what we're doing. Because obviously we know that if we go and say that everything else is the same since January when we played them, then we might not have much of a shot. But I think, you know, our guys have confidence in what we're doing right now and have executed a lot better. You know, we slipped up a couple weeks ago at Wood Memorial, and that's done nothing but refocus us and make us realize that offensive execution is needs to be at a premium. And the one thing I like about this group, other than the fact that I think we play really well together and play really hard, is that I think that we're multifaceted, like you said, in terms of style of play, but also where we get our scoring. I think we can score inside and outside both.
Yeah, I've watched your team, as I said, and you've got a nice club as far as they shoot the ball well. I mean, you can literally go five around the circle and put yourself in a position where you can hit those shots. But you've also improved your inside play. And, you know, Coach, when we get into the tournament, it's those little things. It's blocking out the key rebound. It's hitting the free throw. It's instead of making the weak pass on the wing, you make a strong pass. It's not making the pass out front from one side of the court to the other, but shorten it up. Do you get a sense that your kids have a good feeling about that, understand the importance of the little things at this point?
I think so. I definitely hope so. We've had some big games, and obviously there's no bigger game than the one we'll have tonight until tomorrow night. But, you know, I think Heritage Hills at home with a good crowd on homecoming against a good team was a big game. Jasper at Cabby on the road, you know, against a senior-laden team. Obviously, Jasper's gotten better throughout the year. That was a big game, and I think we've kind of stepped up to the plate in those big games. So I think you're right in the sense that we do have to take care of those little things. And the thing about Perry Central is those little things are so magnified. They're constantly pressuring the basketball. They're constantly denying the wings, where they challenge everything. They challenge out-of-bounds plays. They challenge just inbounds plays on the side. I mean, you have to be ready to go and ready to execute in every little thing. And you know what, the sectional, and obviously there's going to be good crowds. Obviously not as good crowds as years ago, and it sounds like that was mentioned, but we're going to have good crowds nevertheless. You know, the emotional highs and lows, every little mistake, even in the first half, can feel like it's just huge. And so there's also a sense of, you know, we have to have some senior leadership. We have to have some guys that understand that ultimately this game is a long game, and we have to be able to weather the storm and handle some of their runs, because there's going to be runs that they make. There'll be runs that we make, and it's not necessarily what happens during those times. It's how we respond to them.
Well, I know why Coach Eigel holds you in such high regard. Just your comments right there are so important. The game, it's a game of runs. And you have to stay focused. Your kids have to stay focused when it goes your way. They have to stay, you know, understanding that we've got to keep doing the things we're doing. When it goes against you a little bit, that's okay. We'll hold serve a little bit. We'll get ourselves back in it with a defensive play, a big rebound, three-point play. It's those little runs throughout the game. Who can hold the mental toughness? And I think you've played a schedule that allows you to build that. And I'm telling you, you're in a basketball community. I know that because I had to battle against them for so many years, and you're in a great sectional. Let me ask you this, Coach. What has most surprised you, if any, about your team this year as you've gone through the season?
How we pulled off some close games. You know, we won 10 regular season games last year, but and just like all teams throughout the year, we've had some adversity, guys injured and guys that are no longer with us. But I think we just have some competitors, guys that just refuse to lose. Our senior point guard is like that, Trey Reese, just he refuses to lose. You know, at Forest Park was a tough game. We were without Chad O'Brien, and it was on the road, and they were playing like it was a new season with a renewed sense of energy. And it was a battle. It was a war. And we pulled it out, and we made some big plays. And like you said, some little things that just turn magnified throughout the game. And then the very next night, we have to go to Crawford, again without Chad. And at Crawford is a tough place to win, and we just get the job done. And that's what has been awesome about this group is that, you know, despite things going on throughout the game or how things have been going, they find a way to win. And I don't know how much I have to do with it. I think that's more those guys that are playing at the court at that time.
Oh, I think the coach has a lot to do with it. I think he creates the direction and then keeps them moving in that direction. And it's funny to hear you say some of the names of your players because I've heard those names over the years when I played, when I coached, before I played, when my dad was coaching. It's just that's the great thing about basketball in Indiana, in southern Indiana, in the small communities. The generations continue to come up, and it's amazing how many of those players have children who become players, who have children who become players. And you're just in a hotbed of basketball, Coach. And this is a great time of year in southern Indiana, and you're in one of the great sectionals for it. When you look at Perry Central, I've got to be honest with you. They've been more down than they've been up. But this team, it stubbed its toes a couple times, but it has stayed consistent throughout the season as far as getting the job done and winning basketball games at Perry Central.
Yeah, no question. They're a lot like us in the terms of they had a lot of guys that played last year, so they returning experience. A couple guys have been 3-year starters, and also like us, they play so incredibly hard, and so like I said earlier, everything's challenged. You know, they pressure the basketball. They pressure in the full court, and probably just as importantly, they pressure in the half court. And if you are a team that doesn't handle the ball real well, then that's going to give you problems, and then they can make runs, 8-0 run, 10-0 run, 16-2 run, in a matter of just a couple of minutes, and they can really run away from you. And then you kind of fall into their pace of play just in trying to get back into the game. So there's no question that's why they've won a lot of their games. They've won it with pressure and with easy baskets. And so and teams have played them close. Paoli wanted to slow it down, put it in the half court, and they did for 26 minutes of the game. And Dubois did for just about the whole game until it ran away from them right at the end. But it's the team that's going to be able to handle the pressure throughout the entire game, make them execute in the half court the whole time, and then keep them in front and force contested shots and then get every rebound, like we were talking about earlier. That's when there's going to be crucial points in the game where you just have to get a rebound or you have to get a stop and you have to get a score. And those defining moments we have to make sure that we're on top of.
Yeah, and just listening to you talk gets me excited about that because these are the games where guys you didn't expect come through and have that great game, or the other side didn't expect, or the guys you've counted on step up and play the way they're ready to play. And they're also the games where sometimes somebody struggles. And as a coach and a staff, you have to figure out what's the adjustment. Do we give him a rest to get his thoughts together? Do we get on him? Do we put somebody else in and go with somebody else? So there, it's a really a chess match going on because you either win or you go home, and
right.
You come down to who wants to play on Saturday night, who wants to play for a championship.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you come in with a game plan, But you also know that their game plan is to do the opposite, really, and that's what ours is: make them uncomfortable. So it's gonna be who's gonna win that battle, who's gonna be the more physical team. I mean, ultimately, I think it comes down to who's gonna refuse to be pushed around, who's gonna step in front of a flash cut or refuse to be blocked out or refuse to have the ball taken from you, and that can be anybody. When it comes down to those little things that anybody can do, like you said, who knows who's gonna emerge as just a big playmaker during the game.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting, and I'm excited for you, Coach. And just talking to you, I can hear the emotion and enthusiasm in your voice, and I know that carries over with the players. Also, Mater Dei and North Posey's going to play tonight. I'm not going to go into who do you want to play if you advance. I won't even go there, Coach. I won't even say that. All I'll say is if the fans want to get out to a great sectional, get over to Southridge. Watch the Raiders play Perry Central in a huge game, and Mater Dei play North Posey in a huge game. And they're all huge games, because if you don't win, you go home. So, Coach, thanks for being with us, and good luck tonight. And hopefully we'll have an opportunity to maybe talk with you next week.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Coach. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family, cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Oh, this is the worst-looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh? Oh, it looks good on you, though.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're talking high school basketball sectionals, boys basketball action, and I'll tell you what, we've got Travis Madison on the line. Travis, before we start talking about the Lagodi sectional, I've got one question for you.
Sure.
Tell us your best Coach K story.
Oh, don't do it, Travis.
To narrow this down, I don't know if you guys have enough time, but I was thinking about this because I know I offered that up a couple of weeks ago on either Facebook or on a website, and I'll share a story here that it won't paint Coach in too bad of a light, but probably my sophomore year, of course, is probably one of my favorite years as a player. Coach's first sectional championship at Washington Catholic. We were struggling through a tough practice one day, and he was trying to motivate us, and we probably weren't getting motivated appropriately. So we were on one end of the floor, and down on the other end of the floor at the old birdcage, there was some old ticket windows that didn't really used to sell tickets, but they were used as closets, but they were open to the gym side. And I think Coach got upset or wanted to get our attention and may have punted a basketball, and it made it right through the about a 2x2 window, and it was perfect. He was probably at half court, so it was something that. And it brought a moment of levity to practice because obviously we weren't performing as he would have liked. And I think at that point in time, he just kind of stopped and got a smile on his face and said, we got to try that again and see if I can go 2 for 2. But that was a good story. And I think obviously one of my favorite years, and obviously I followed Coach's career. I feel like that's probably one of the best coaching jobs he did in 1989 when I was a sophomore. And as far as bringing seniors together with young kids and had a good staff, and chemistry just was a huge thing, and brought that on all year long. But that was a story. I think it was that year. We were talking about that the other day. But a good coach story that he was a good motivator, and that day he was able to turn what was a rough practice into a much better practice just by basically kicking the ball about 25, 30 feet into a 2x2 square. So.
Yeah, well, Travis, believe it or not, I remember that, and it did bring some levity, and it broke. It broke me, too. It brought levity to me because I was expecting that ball to bang off the wall, come back towards somebody, and kind of shock them. Instead, it goes right through. And it was a lot of fun. And that was a great year. We had a young team with a couple of seniors, and I think we started out 0-3 somewhere in there, and then we just picked it up and went right in and upset Lagodi in a championship game. And you and Brian McAtee and all those guys, and Brett Smith as a senior, all those guys, Chris Dayton, just did a great job. But today, you know, we've got you on talking about one of the great sectionals in Southern Indiana, in the state of Indiana, on the 1A level, and that's at Lagodi. And we've got Lagodi survives a scare from Ben Sindrivay. Bar Eve, big win over Washington Catholic. But just a little bit about you, Travis. Not only were you an outstanding player at Washington Catholic that also played on the undefeated team that went into the tournament, got to the semi-state, but you are now the superintendent at Bar Eve Community Schools. And when you have a little time and there's not much in your world with the kids and everything you got going on, you do a little play-by-play analysis for Bar Eve basketball games.
Yeah, it's been fun. I filled in a couple times last year, and this year it was kind of more of a full-time gig, especially on the boys' side, and I've done a lot of the girls' games as well. And I tell you what, it's really been, for lack of a better term, it's kind of been a good therapy for me. Obviously, throughout the course of the day, you just got a little different things going on, and being a superintendent of a small district, there's a lot of challenges that provides. Being a superintendent anywhere provides challenges, but it gives me an opportunity to, of course, I love athletics and love watching the kids, you know, work hard and work toward those goals and all the things that go into it. But it provides a little bit of therapy for me as I can go. I enjoy going to the games, but it's a little bit of an escape, so to speak, where I can kind of go back and it's funny how smart you are sitting up there in the behind the media bench rather than when you're sitting on the sidelines as I did for many years. But it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy watching the kids and seeing them grow as the year goes on, talking to the coaches and kind of finding out what things they're doing, things that they're trying to get better at in practice. So it's a good way to stay involved, and I just enjoyed it, and it's been a good gig. Now I don't know if my wife will allow me to do it again next year, because when she comes to ball games, she's 1-on-3 and I'm usually there by myself with headphones on, so we'll see how that goes. But it's been a lot of fun.
Well, you're the middle brother of three brothers that I coached at Washington Catholic. Ty, of course, your older brother, great player for me, and Toby, your younger brother, just a great player for me for a couple years, and went on to be an Indiana All-Star and play Division I. But regardless of the fact that you guys were players for me, you're just all good people, and you made my time at Washington Catholic such a pleasure, just so much like family. But you said something about going up and watching the games in a different capacity other than coaching, which you had been doing as an assistant. Terry Francona, who used to coach the Boston Red Sox, was on a sports talk show this morning, and he talked about how being a year out of manager, he was able to see the game differently as a color analyst for baseball. And it wasn't that the game changed for him. It's that the emotion of winning or losing was out of the game and allowed you to look at it in a different capacity mentally. And I would agree with that, and I think that's what you were alluding to. You know, I can sit back and I see basketball the same way in my mind, close my eyes, see the floor, see the players moving, see what I'd want to do. But when you don't have the emotion tied to it of the win or the loss, you're able to look at the focus on the game more as a whole than in the microcosms of the team you're coaching.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. The only side note I would have is I'm still a little bit biased. I'm gonna go out and do a disclaimer, because obviously with a lot of the kids, we try to do as good a job as we can to paint the picture for the folks at home. But obviously, you know, with I've got a good relationship with a lot of these kids. I've watched them grow up. So, you know, again, sometimes that may sneak into there a little bit. My partner, Mike DeCourcy, he's way more biased than I am. I try to bring a little bit of even temperedness to the booth. But it is that way. And I think it's, like I said, the biggest thing for me is I just like watching and being able to kind of even gauge what each sideline's thinking and what adjustments they're making during the game, and being able to see if those work to the things that they want them, you know, some of the adjustments they make. Are they doing the things that they want them to do? And it's just nice to look at the X and O part of it, because that was always something, especially as I got out of coaching, got into administration, that's something I missed. I missed the game planning. I missed the working with individual students and student athletes and watching them get better on things that we that we were trying to work with them, in practice every day. And so those are the things you kind of miss. But I guess from the vantage point of sitting up there about 7 or 8 rows deep into the crowd, you can kind of still see some of those things. But it's just always nice to analyze those things and take a look and see what adjustments are made and just watch the coaches interact with the student athletes. And again, I'm pretty blessed that down here where we're at, it's still the main game in town. So it's a good experience every night for our kids. And I always preach to them when I was principal and even now just to appreciate where they get the opportunity to play. Because it's like it was back in the days when you hear folks talk about the 80s or the 70s or the 60s and where everybody was at the games and there was such support from the school and the community. I mean, our kids still benefit from that on a regular basis. I mean, they very seldom play in front of empty gymnasiums. When our team travels, there's a ton of fans that go with them. I mean, it's still a big deal, and so they're very blessed to have that where the effort that they put in week in and week out is paid off by people caring and supporting them. And so they're pretty blessed. So it's a lot of fun. It's a good atmosphere every time we go out.
Yeah, in Montgomery and Candleburg area, that whole area is just a great place to settle and live and raise your kids. You've got a great school system, a great community, and people care. They still care about their community and their school. And anybody that knows your mom, Carrie, and knew your dad, Bob, who left us way too soon, would understand why people gravitate and get along with you. And you're kind of a different superintendent. You still get out in the schools and you spend time at the games and you talk to the students. And that leads me to Friday night. Friday night's a great night for sectional basketball.
Yes.
You've gotten through the school week. Now you just focus on sectional, and Friday nights are tough because a lot of upsets happen on Friday nights, you find out who wants to play on Saturday night. That's what I listed on my Facebook page, who wants to play Saturday night, because that's what it comes down to. You got a great sectional. Let's start with Ligoti.
Okay.
People were surprised when they opened up the paper, heard on the news that Ligoti had to go to overtime to beat Revay. Without putting yourself in a corner, was this just sectional, or is Ligoti trying to ride its ship, or what's going on there?
Well, I don't want to speculate too much, but I was able to watch the whole game on Tuesday night, and Ligoti's been a little up and down from time to time, and really, to be honest with you, it all depends on the way they're shooting the basketball. They obviously have the most experience coming back. They had a state championship team, although they did lose some key players, but they had a lot of experience coming back that in some key spots, and in my mind, they're still the team to beat because they are on their home floor. You know, Revay the other night, I think I would attribute it to just sectional play. I think you had a team that was heavily favored, and Ligoti coming in against Revay, they beat him pretty good during the regular season. The one thing you got to realize, we are still dealing with kids, and sometimes the shots just didn't fall early. Revay was able to hang around. Actually, Ligoti jumped out to an early lead. Looked like it was just going to be kind of a continuing. Then Revay was able to chop back. Foul trouble crept in. Some shots didn't fall. And then you could just see the hope building for Revay, and you could see Ligoti pressing just a little bit. You know, they forced some things. The ball didn't go in the basket, and sometimes that gets contagious. And once a team that's in the underdog gets in that role where they start to see some freaky things happen, some shots that maybe hadn't fallen all year long for them fell, rebounds where it seems like every loose ball was going their way. So, again, I think from a Ligoti perspective, when you lose your best player and arguably the best player in the sectional in the fourth quarter, and you're still able to get that game in overtime and then win the game in overtime without that best player and with shooting from the free throw line pretty abysmal down the stretch and in the overtime, to still come out on head, because really that's all it's about, is surviving and advancing. So I wouldn't read too much into it. I think the biggest thing is they survived that, and I don't think you'll see I don't think you'll see that same effort from Ligoti. I don't think it was anything they didn't work hard. I think it was just, things just weren't going their way, but they still found a way to win. And I think you say that about teams that can win championships, is they, when things aren't going their way, they still find a way to win a basketball game. And Coach Wagner's team did that. And they're still going to be an awfully tough out. They play North Davies, which, again, have had a great season. They actually beat Ligoti during the regular season when Ligoti was having one of those nights where they had trouble hitting the basket. And North Davis, they're well coached, and they seem to really hone in on a team and try to take away things from that team. And Coach Dalrymple does a great job of game planning and finding maybe some areas of weakness in each team. And, again, they slow the tempo down. They make it a possession game, and they're obviously more skilled at that than most because that's what they do on a regular basis. And so I think that'll be a great game to the first game on on Friday night. I think that'll be a really high contested game, and crowds will be involved. Kids will be passionate. It'll be a lot of fun, and we'll be able to sit back and watch it, and then wait for our game with Shoals, the second game. But I back to your question, I think the Lagodi game the other night was just, I think it was more sectional, maybe some nerves, and sometimes a team that's got a lot more to lose tends to press a little bit, and I think that's probably what happened.
Yeah, and you know, when you get in, and you know this from playing and coaching, it's the sectional, you're like running through a field and everything looks good, and then all of a sudden you hit a hole and fall down, and
yeah,
before you know it, everybody's past you, and that's what happens. It just comes up and gets you when you're not ready. But I'm gonna put you on the spot here, Travis. You've got North Davies and Lagodi tonight. North Davies, I believe, has 15 wins. Lagodi 16 or 17, 17 wins. How do you see it? How do you see it tonight?
I think Lagodi will win tonight. I think it'll be a close basketball game. I think Lagodi will pull it out, though. You got to feel for North Davis. They've got a player that probably, and Nick Craze, that was one of the better players in Southern Indiana, and he's just battled injuries over the last year and a half, and you hate that for him, because if he's 100% healthy, they're a totally different basketball team. But he's not been able to practice with the team all year long. He's very limited in what he can do, and they haven't made any excuses. I mean, he's still gone out and battled. North Davis has still come out and had a great season, but I think the draw did help them a little bit, and the fact that they didn't have to play Tuesday night, so he'll come out probably as fresh as he's been for any game this season, and if he has a good night, all bets are off. But I just think that Lagodi, with the experience, with Connor Whitmer inside, and then the Matthias kid, who actually had his best shooting game probably against Bar Reeve earlier in the year when he came out hot early. I look for him to get some things going. They got some key contributions from other guys the other night, so that's got to build their confidence. But I think on their home floor, I just look for Lagodi to eke one out, maybe 3 or 4 points at the free throw line at the end.
And then the second game, you've got Bar Reeve taking on Shoals, and Brian Hughes' club, Bar Eve, with one loss, and I was at that lone loss, and that was when Lagodi came into Bar Eve. And for our listeners, it really could have gone Bar Eve's way. We had a couple situations late in the game where some moisture on the floor caused Bar Eve players to fall on the pass coming to them, and it just kind of messed some things up. I'm not saying Lagodi wouldn't have won the game, but certainly would have given Bar Eve an opportunity twice to take the lead. But Coach Hughes has got, his club knows they're strong. They got a nice club. You got a nice club. You're taking on a Shoals team that has struggled throughout the year. They come in with 6 wins. What do we have to do if we're a Viking to make sure we take care of that game?
I just think you do. And the one thing that when you look at the schedules from November to now March, I mean, the Vikings have been probably the most consistent team in the tournament. I mean, they've taken care of teams that people would say, well, they should have beat them. They've taken care of teams that probably were evenly matched, and they've even probably beat a couple of teams that on paper people probably thought they shouldn't beat. But the one thing that they've been all year long, I think, is consistent. We've had a couple of games here lately that have tested us a little bit, but I said on the radio I thought that was a good thing, because we had some that were so out of reach that you want your kids in those moments where they have to execute to win basketball games. So we had a couple there down the stretch when we had some illness and some different things that the guys had to step up. But I just think they just take care of the things that have got them there. the one thing Coach Hughes does is he doesn't expect a superhuman effort from anybody. He preaches team. So you're going to have basically whatever Shoals gives us, we're going to take. And if they're going to try to pack it in and take away our inside game, then we're going to have guys outside that are going to be able to knock down shots and step up and do that. If they try to do this and, different things against us, I look for, it doesn't really matter. And there's different folks that have stepped up all year long. So I think that's one of the blessings of having a balanced team, is that when a team tries to take certain things away, you've got other kids that are going to step up. And I think that's kind of what Brian's been famous for here over the years. And again, no different with this year's team. I mean, on any given night, different guy could step up and score double digits and hurt you. So I think you just try to pick your poison, and you hope that you can do that and it falls your way. But many times it's, 21 games this evening, this year, it's when teams have chosen to take certain things, we've had other guys step up. But I just think you just take care of business like you always have. I think you'll establish an inside game with both Wagler and Bledsoe inside, two big kids, two very physical kids, and then if they decide to pack it in, I think we've got the best 3-point shooter in Brandon Wagler, or Brandon Graver, I'm sorry, and then He's been consistent all year long. Not when he gets his feet set and he gets a kick out pass from inside, he's almost automatic. And then we also got Micah Bullock, who is a good all around player as well. He can hit threes, but he can also put it on the floor and pull up, and just a lot of different pieces that can hurt you. And it's going to be a night where all those guys are going to have to be having a bad night. And I just think the percentages, you know, just don't work out that way. So I just think Shoals will pose a threat inside. They got the Sherfitt kid that transferred over from Lagodi a couple years ago. He's a big kid, strong kid. But again, you know, it's kind of 2-on-1 with him, like we saw earlier in the year. He can't guard both of our big guys, and when we played him earlier in the season, it was just a situation where we were able to pull away. And I look for Coach Hughes to probably up the pressure a little bit tonight, try to force some turnovers and get the ball rolling, and try to get some easy baskets for the guys too. So, and he does that from time to time, but I look for him to do that a little bit tonight to try to up the tempo a little bit and try to get some easy baskets off of turnovers.
You know, our listeners may not realize that a team that's 21-1. Like Bar Eve is, you're not a what I call a senior laden team. You've got some young pieces to that puzzle, which I think is pretty amazing.
It's a good mixture, and the thing is, our senior class has been great. I mean, we've got a couple of guys that probably would start for most other teams in our sectional that have assumed a bench role or a sub role, and they've never complained. And Coach Hughes says that time and time again when he compliments those guys on the radio or in the newspaper. They accept their roles. They're good leaders. And then we've got a couple of guys that obviously that start for us, and Jacob and Brandon, who are actually co-valedictorians of their senior class, so they not only take care of it in the classroom, but they are great leaders on the basketball floor. And they just, they never have any problems. You never see any unselfishness. They share the basketball. You just see them playing together as a team, and the chemistry's there. And obviously they got a little bitter taste in their mouth from last year, because last year we only lost two ball games going into the sectional, but lost to a very good Lagodi team. And so I think this year they've kind of got a little bit of unfinished business some of these kids want to take care of. So,
well, for the people that have never been to the Lagodi sectional or the gym, which sits in southern Indiana, west, east of Washington, north of Jasper, south of Bloomington and Indianapolis. But the interesting thing is, the gym is like the community gathering place, the Shrine. It's a big gym, probably bigger than the Lagodi community itself.
Sure.
Which several gyms in southern Indiana are. It's just a great place to play basketball.
Well, and to be honest with you, it's a lot like the old sectional was at Washington. Obviously, it's not as big because the facility's not as big, and you don't have some of the other schools. But it's kept that same feel with some of the rivalries that have stayed together and stayed true with North Davies, Bar Eve, and Lagodi, and then of course you have WC, and then I think Shoals was in the old sectional as well. Reve's over here now instead of Washington, who used to come. But it still has that feel in a lot of ways of the old sectional that used to be at Washington. But it's a good atmosphere. It's one of those great gyms like Huntingburg has, where it's the sunken gym down. You know, everybody, there's not a bad seat in the house. It sounds to me like, and listen to Mr. Noblet, that's what they're trying to maybe create with the new Jasper gym, and just a more fan-friendly environment, you know. And Lagodi's a great place to have it. It'll be packed. There'll be people, you know, standing up around the top, and you know, it'll be a hot ticket tonight and even tomorrow night, depending upon how the outcomes go. But good atmosphere, and again, I can't stress enough, and we'd say it to our kids all the time, they're so incredibly blessed, and to be able to, you know, because you spend a lot of hours and time committing yourselves to this, and it's awfully nice when it means something, and in these communities it surely does.
Well, they're fortunate to have you, Travis, because I know you not only do a great job, but you care about what you do, and that's even more important than doing a great job sometimes. So thanks for being with us, and good luck to the Vikings and all the teams over at the Lagodi Sectional this weekend.
I appreciate it, Coach. You guys take care.
You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
We are going to do what we set out to do. We're going to win that tournament.
Yes! I knew it. I knew you were a champion the minute I saw you bowl, Ish.
I'm not going to bowl. You are.
You are such a loser. You're a bona fide schmuck. Look at me!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the show, and, you know, this has been a show about the Hoosier hysteria, the sectionals going on in the area. And we've talked to some coaches, we've talked to some athletic directors, and, of course, we just finished up with superintendent of Bar Eve Schools and also play-by-play for the Bar Eve Vikings boys and girls color analyst Travis Madison. So it's been a great show. You know, folks, the thing about high school sports is it really is one of our last opportunities to get our kids involved in something that can cause them not only to reach down deeper inside themselves, but also learn how to work with others to give into the team, to the group. And as an employer, having been in the business world as well as coaching and teaching, that's important. You know, people have to be able to work with one another. They have to set their egos aside at different times. They have to set their goals or desires temporarily aside in order to seize the success of the group. And nothing teaches that better than high school sports. And this is just a great time of the year. We've got a lot more to go on the show as we go into our second hour. We've got Coach Friedman from Northeast Dubois who will be playing this weekend in the Wood Memorial Sectional. They had a huge, huge win over Evansville Day School. Day School was a team that had a great regular season, 16-17 wins. We're going into the Wood Memorial Sectional, defending champs. Looked like they would probably win it again. And Northeast Dubois, great tradition over there. Coach Friedman took his group in and got them a big win and got themselves into the Friday night semifinal. We also have Coach John Gable of the Jasper Wildcats who will be coming up. They got a big win over Matt Sisley's Heritage Hills Patriots during the week. Overtime win, and which sets them up for a semifinal match this weekend against Mitchell, and hopefully to play the winner of the Vincennes, Lincoln and Washington Hatchets game on Friday night. So a lot of basketball going on, and of course we've got all kinds of disruption in the Big Ten as far as IU losing to Minnesota, Michigan with a I don't know. You know, I've been around basketball a long time. I've been around sports a long time and business. And nothing surprises me. And there's no guarantee in anything. But, you know, I don't know how many people thought Michigan was going to lose to Penn State. You know, Penn State has been competitive, but usually for a half. And, you know, I've got to believe Coach Beilein is and his staff are just sitting there trying to figure out what they need to do next because they've really put themselves in a difficult situation in the Big Ten. There's no doubt that that they're going to make the NCAA tournament, but they've jeopardized their high seed with a loss to Penn State, who had not won a Big Ten game up to that point, I believe. So difficult. IU, of course, tough loss at Minnesota. Minnesota was dominant on the boards, and I was surprised that Minnesota could hold serve. I just don't think they have much depth. I know Tom Dienert of the Big Ten, BigTen.com, BigTenNetwork.com, and I have discussed, not argued, but discussed, he thought Minnesota had a little more depth. I don't think they do. I think they have some skilled players, but I don't think they have enough of them. I think they have some physical players, but I don't think they have enough skilled players to go with that group, and I don't know how much depth they have. I think Tubby Smith does a great job, and I think he was emotionally, he was very emotional after that win over IU. When they interviewed him, he was very under control and quiet when he was doing it, but you could see that he was hesitating on responding, and there was a little stutter in his voice. And I think it was a very emotional win because I think that Coach Smith realized how important that win was against IU for his program, not just for this year, but for his program. So that was big. And of course, who gets the benefit from the IU loss? Gonzaga. And Mark Few and his group, they deserve it. They've done a great job. Well, Joe, it sounds like we've got Coach Friedman with us, and that guy, he's got to be a happy guy. I mean, go over to Wood Memorial, take on probably the favorite in the sectional, maybe not in his mind, but in everybody else's mind, and get a win with those Du Bois Jeep, 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 Jeeps. He's got to be feeling pretty good. Coach, you've got to be feeling pretty good right now.
Well, Coach K, the Jeeps are excited up here. It's tournament time, and, you know, we've had ourselves a little bit of an up-and-down year here, but we've started playing a lot better basketball here since about the middle of January. And we got a pretty tall order in this tournament draw here with 7th-ranked Day out of the gate. And then we got to go play Wood on their home court tonight. And then hopefully we're going to play again tomorrow night. So, but, yeah, it's all good up here.
And I don't want to belabor the first win because, you know, as coaches, we've got to move on and we've got to get ready for the game in front of us, especially at sectional time. But, you know, talking to a lot of people down in the Evansville area, you know, Evansville Day School is not necessarily on the radar of everybody down here because it's never had a lot of success. But Coach Ballard has done a great job the last few years, and he's building a program that's starting to play a better schedule. And mm-hmm. But I think most people felt like, you know, that was their sectional to win. And I told them, hey, I've been through it. I've experienced the Jeep, 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 Jeep. I told them, not so quick here, guys. Du Bois is going to come in with a tradition, a tournament tested. They know how to play against the favorite because they've had to do it for many, many years at different times. Not so quick. And, boy, did you make me a prophet. And your guys, in the fourth quarter, you guys really picked it up, played great basketball.
We did, Coach, and, you know, we had a pretty solid game plan, we felt like, coming in. I'd had the opportunity to see Dave play on a couple of occasions, and I had some good game film and, you know, picked the brains of some of Vincent and some of our coaches that had played him. So we felt like we had a good game plan, but you know, I couldn't have been prouder of our kids. You know, we stayed with our game plan throughout there, and when the door cracked for us a little bit there in the fourth quarter, we went right through it and never looked back.
And those kids, this just had to be a shot in the butt, a shot in the arm, a knock to the head. You know, they're sitting there after that game, and I'm not saying they didn't believe it when they went in, because yeah. I know you had them ready, but they had to be thinking, you know what, this is tourney time, and we can get this job done.
Yeah, they did, and, you know, I'm going to say one thing. This was a team, Coach, that came in with pretty high expectations this year. We had four starters back from a 15-16 last year, our team last year that won 15 games with four starters back. So, you know, they had high expectations. But, you know, our first game of the year, our starting point guard goes down with an ACL, and we had some other injuries and illnesses. So we bounced around a lot this season. But I'll say this team came to practice every day ready to go. We talked about, you know, getting ready and being ready to play at the end of the season. You know, when everybody's back, everybody's playing again. I said, we want to be the best we can be come March. We don't want to be the best we can be in January. And you know, sometimes that, you know, kids get tired of hearing that when you're not winning games, as you know, during the season, you know. But this group stuck with it. And, you know, now the focus has been, hey, you know, pat yourself on the back after Tuesday night. As soon as we got off the bus on Tuesday night, it's like, hey, we got a tough game coming up Friday night. You know, we're going into Wood Memorial. It's their home gym, and this is a team that just recently knocked off Southridge and played Forest Park to a one-point game. So, hey, we got to get ourselves going again.
Yeah, and Coach, I was just about to refer to that. And again, you know, Wood on paper – but you could say the same about the Jeeps on paper. Didn't look was going to happen. But you point to a couple of recent games that shows that Wood at least is capable of getting the job done. If the other team's not ready to play or opens the door and gives them a chance, they've still got enough in their tank or enough confidence to say, we can get this done, and they're doing it on the home court. So this, you can correct me. I don't think I'm wrong on this. But this is your first year in the Wood Memorial sectional. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes, Coach.
So you come into a what I call a foreign environment because you had not played in this sectional, and now you've got that first win. But you're right. Wood Memorial is just good enough that if you're still celebrating Tuesday night's win, they're going to sneak up on you.
Exactly, and it's an old fashioned trap game. There's no doubt about it. We just played Wood at the end of January, and it was a game that kind of got out of hand. We ended up winning by 27, and we're not 27 points by any stretch of the imagination better than they are. So, you know, we've had to try to erase that from our kids' memory and try to erase Tuesday night from their memory and say, hey, it's a whole new ball game. And we've really worked hard this week on the mental side of it and making sure that our kids come out ready to play tonight.
You know, and the mental part is so, so, so important. And I know I've had teams that stepped up mentally. I've had individuals that stepped up mentally. I've had individuals who did not rise to the occasion, unfortunately. They were very good players. They just didn't get it done when it was tournament time. But in the end, you're going in there, and you've got to keep your guys believing. And I think I point back to something you said just a few minutes ago. When you were going through the difficult period in January and early February, you kept asking them to hang in there. We want to be our best when it counts, and that's tournament time. You don't know if you got them. You don't know if you don't. But if you can get a win in there, great effort in there, it keeps them believing. And it sounds like that those kids hung on to who they were supposed to be, yet knew that who they were wasn't who they could be at the end of the year. So I give you all the credit in the world, Coach, for you and your staff. You're down-to-earth people, I know that, and you just look at it the way it is. Guys, we got to hang in there because when it comes nut-cutting time, so to speak, tournament time, you're good enough to win that thing.
Well, and you're exactly right, and a lot of the language you just mentioned is terms we put it in. We try to keep it as simple as we can here, Coach, and, you know, it was like, you know, kids on the street coming up to our boys and saying, hey, you guys are 6-10, what's the deal? You know, I tell them, hey, we're 6-10. It is what it is. You can't change that. I said, can you change it going forward? Absolutely. Can we do one thing about the 16 games that we played prior? No. So, hey, put it behind you, move on, play for each other. And, you know, that's one of our team mottos here, Coach, and that's one thing that I always stress to our basketball teams. Don't play for your mom and dad. Don't play for the fans. Don't play for me as the coach. Play for each other. Look at the guy next to you in the huddle, in the locker room. Look him straight in the eye and say, I'm playing for you tonight. You know, I'm playing for the other 10 guys in the uniform or 11 guys in the uniform. And, you know, when kids do that, they're fun to watch.
Oh, there's no doubt. And when you take responsibility as a player to be responsible, to lift up the other guy, to have his back, that makes all the difference in the world out there. And you can see it in players' eyes. You can see it while they're battling out there. You can kind of look at the guys on the bench and know who's got a little bit of that in them. And it really is important that my mom used to say this, although people would have probably thought my dad did, but my mom always said, misery loves company. And if you can, and there's so many people out there that want to bring guys down when things aren't going good. And they even want to try to bring them down when things are going good. But if they can get each other's back and focus in, like you said, Coach, that's when you can get it done, because you find the chink in the other guy's armor. You find that little weak spot. You can bust through it. That's when you got a tournament-caliber team.
Yeah, and I guess we'll find out the next two nights. And I really, right now, Coach, I really like the mental psych of our team. I like how they're communicating with each other. I like their body language in practice. I like their body language around school, you know. But we'll see how things go. But, you know, right now I feel like we're in a pretty good mental state here at Northeast Dubois.
Coach, before I let you go, let me ask you just a couple of things that you think your guys need to do tonight in order to get into that championship game. Like I've been saying all week, who wants to play on Saturday? What are a couple of your guys need to do?
Well, I think for us, and this may sound a little bit off if you've watched our team and the style of my teams over the years, this is a game I think we want to pick the tempo up in. We like to play a little bit faster so that we can get more touches on the basketball. up and down. And it's also a game that I think, you know, this the Wood Memorial team, although they're not really big, they are physical, and they do a really nice job of two things. They're a good rebounding team for a team that's not very big, and they play really good man-to-man defense. So, you know, we need to try to counteract that with our inside game, and we want to be physical too. And, you know, New Boys teams as a general rule are physical. So we want to be physical tonight, but we also want to pick our tempo up a little bit tonight.
Well, it sounds like you guys are ready to go. It's exciting. And, man, if people aren't out there and can get out there, they need to get over to Wood. They need to take that sectional. It is a great place to watch a basketball game, great place to play a basketball game. And you've got great tradition in your program. It's going to be a great night. Coach, I wish you a lot of success. Hope you get into that Saturday game, and we're talking to you next week.
Okay. Hey, we appreciate the time on your radio show. Thank you very much, Coach, and we'll be talking hopefully in the future.
Thanks a lot, Coach. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Well, wow. What can I say about Fletch? He's been fantastic. He boxes out for us, gets the tough rebounds, does the tough things that we need to win. It's great working with him. I don't know where we'd be without him.
Well, let's take a look at the play. He is actually 6'5 with the afro 6'9. Pretty good dribbler. Comes in deep. His club is behind by 1 point at this stage. Fletch comes in, puts the ball through the legs. What a great play. And he puts it up and in, and the Lakers have the lead. Oh, was that some kind of a play?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show. Coach, I'll tell you what, listening to these coaches, listening to Travis Madison, I'll tell you what, you can just feel the excitement, can't you?
Oh, it's an exciting time. And, you know, this is a great show for the basketball, a person who loves basketball, because what you've got is not just the games, but you've got the emotion that's tied into the games. And Joe, when you think about your time as in high school and going over to the sectional as an adult and watching these teams play, and me as a coach or a player, there's just so much emotion tied to it. And that's why I hate to see the IHSA mess with so many things, because it kind of splinters that emotional tie that's there.
I'll tell you, and also, I know I'm going to be giving myself a plug here, but, you know, just the past sectionals, if you go, if you're a Jasper person, you definitely need to go to JasperTodayOnline.com and check out our latest edition. We've got an unbelievable interview from 1975, or from about the 1975 game between Coach K and his father, head coach Ed Schulteis. Slick Weber put a little thing in about what the sectional and Jasper basketball means to him. And Ron Flick wrote an article about the history of the Jasper gym. Did you know they played in that Lorai building, Kenny?
I absolutely did, Joe. But let me give you some credit here real quick. That is a great addition, Jasper Today, online.com. And it's got great history about Jasper basketball in the sectional. But, yes, I actually did know that they played in the Lorai building. And do you know that the Lorai building was a building owned by a good friend of ours, his great-grandfather, Jay Lorai, our buddy Jay Lorai?
Yeah, I figured it was, but you know, I didn't know for sure. But, you know, it was amazing to hear about, you know, some of the places they played before, because when I've been in the – was it the upstairs of the Lorai building or downstairs?
Yeah, the upstairs.
The court couldn't have been regulation, could it have been?
Well, you know, back then, even though there were standard sizes for the courts, because of all the small communities and the lack of facilities, different courts were used of all different sizes. You know, it wasn't too long ago, Joe, that when New Harmony, before they had their new gym, they don't have a high school anymore, but they played in the old New Harmony gymnasium. It wasn't too long ago, they had a double line for the double court because the floor was short. So you're double. They had two half court lines in order to have the correct size court.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah, it's not unusual for that. But you know, one of the areas that some of our listeners might remember is in the old high school, which was the middle school, which was torn down. But where we used to go into the cafeteria, you know, many people may remember this that went to Jasper High School, where we would go eat in the old cafeteria. That at one time was the basketball court as well. So Hoosier Hysteria is not just filled with great sectional games. The great thing about Hoosier Hysteria High School is the venues, the different places that you play. Washington, a town of about 8,000 or 9,000, has a gym that seats 7,000. Southridge, which is Huntingburg, a town of about 5,000 or 6,000, it seats over 6,000. Just a number of great venues where you go into French Lick, Indiana. They have this great gym to watch basketball, built a lot like Memorial Gym in Huntingburg. Just great places to play basketball. You know, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to have Jasper's basketball coach, John Gable. John, of course, former coach at Modern Day High School, won a state championship there and been at Jasper now about 6 years. They were able to hold on to a game against a very good Heritage Hills team and get into the semifinals tonight at Washington. I do want to mention the Class 4A sectional at Evansville North. Central had a huge win against Castle on Tuesday night. Castle, of course, had Blake Simmons, son of Marty Simmons. They get taken out on Tuesday night. That was an upset, no doubt about it. And so tonight in the 4A sectional at North, beautiful new facility, Harrison 20-1 versus North 12-8. And then in the second game, Wrights, Coach Mike Adams 12-9 versus Central, who got the upset win over Castle 14-7. Those are going to be great games out there as well. It sounds like we've got a very happy, very, very happy John Gable with us. Survives a very good win against a very good Heritage Hills team in overtime and gets to go in and play tonight in the semifinal round at Washington against Mitchell. Coach, I don't want to spend too much time on Tuesday's games because you got Friday's game, but let's just go back a little bit. You got to be excited. Kids held on. Kind of got murky there at the end of the fourth quarter, went into overtime, took control, got a nice win over a very good Heritage Hills team.
Thanks, Ken. I appreciate it. It was a really nice win, and I appreciate the fact that you're complimenting Heritage Hills because that's what we did before and after the game. They are a very good team, and as has been pointed out in the media and by Coach Sicily, and Coach Sicily is a good friend of mine and does a great job, but Heritage Hills is a very young team, and they're all back next year, and they've got a lot of bright things coming ahead. So we're very proud to we consider that a very quality win for our program.
Well, it is a quality win, Coach, and sectional time. My gosh, you and I both know any win's a great win at sectional time. But when I think about your team, and of course, you know your team better than anyone else. My thoughts or anyone else's thoughts or somebody that just sees them once in a while. But I felt really good about Jasper's opportunities against Heritage Hills. For one thing, you just pointed out, they were a young team. And I wondered how they would handle it. It sounds like they found themselves soon enough in order to get the thing into overtime. But at one point, you got control of the fourth quarter. But what I thought about your team was you're very stingy defensively. You make it very difficult to score in the lanes and things in the elbow areas because of the thick players you've got. But you also got a little quickness and a little toughness out front. And if you throw weak passes or you're soft with the ball, your guys are going to make it difficult. So those were the two things that I felt gave you a great opportunity in that game. And then, of course, Coach, you guys scored a lot of points. You scored a lot of points against Heritage Hills.
Well, you know, that's 81 points. I never would have guessed that if we were scoring 81 points that we would even win the game because that means the game is a little bit faster than we like to play. But, you know, we went to the foul line 24 times in the overtime, and that was because we got up early in the overtime, and obviously Heritage Hills had the foul, so – and we were fortunate enough in the overtime to knock down those foul shots. But you're right about our defense. Our defense has been our calling card all year long. A guy like Cole Sermersheim, for example, in the Heritage Hills game the other night, I believe it was three straight possessions in the second quarter, he came up with steals. And he's got around 40 steals on the year, I believe. And our guys have really bought into the idea that if you're not going to be able to score a lot of points, you're going to have to defend. And I don't care who you are, it's difficult to play high school basketball if you're not willing to defend. And we've got a group of young men who aren't afraid to be physical. They rotate well defensively. They're not afraid to try to take a charge, and they're not they can defend the ball and they can help off the weak side. And we just have the defensive mentality, but more so than any team I've ever been able to coach. So I'm very proud of them for that.
Well, and you know that was your calling card, and I know early in the year there were struggles offensively, but I as much as I understood that, I also knew that as time went on in the season, guys are going to shoot the ball a little better. They're going to get their stroke. I know you've been hit or miss on that in some games, Floyd Central a game, but other games you guys have come out, you've hit the shots when you've needed to hit them, but you've really let your defense create some of your offense. And I got to tell you, at tournament time, I want to be a good defensive team. I want a defense that creates my offense, because at tournament time, Coach, and we both know this, other teams have shaky moments. The crowd gets into it, tough time in the game, maybe some young guys that aren't used to it. If your defense is consistent, as Jasper's has been, and they take pride in it, as you say they have, and they have, that's a great position to be in at tournament time, because you can create offense from defense.
You're right. I know it sounds cliche, and you hear coaches say it all the time, but defense wins championships, and we haven't done that yet, but we've certainly put ourselves in a position to do so with our defense. And as far as the shooting is concerned, we are a hit and miss team. I think against DuBois the other night, that was a really nice win for us as well. In the last game of the regular season, we knocked down 6 3-pointers of the DuBois, but they were shots that came out of our offense. They were shots that came from the ball being moved inside out with our feet set. And they were big shots for us. And, two of our last three losses toward the end of the year against Evansville Modern Day and against Floyd Central, we were a combined 0-for-21 from the three-point line. And so, when the shots aren't going down for us and when teams are keeping the ball out of the paint against us, we have a difficult time to score. But we've actually come around in the last few games, and our shot selection is much better, and we've been able to knock some down.
Well, one thing, I was at the Ligoti game. I saw most of that game. And one thing I thought back to was our earlier conversation on the show. We talked about kids understanding the difference between a good shot or an open shot and working to get the best shot. And I felt like against Ligoti you were very efficient, and your guys passed up what I would call open shots to get the best shot. And that was a young man by the name of Mark Giesler coming off some screens and ended up with the ball in the right place and putting it in the hoop. Your team looks like it has matured and got a little better understanding of that, and Giesler obviously has played very well for you down the stretch.
Well, we actually have a group of young men right now that you never really know what's really going on in their mind, but from outside looking in and just being around them, it does seem like we don't have a lot of selfish attitudes. We've got a group of young men who really don't care who scores as long as the team scores, and we're sharing the ball well. And like you said, we're passing up some shots in certain situations that, maybe mom or dad or grandpa wants the kid to shoot it, but our player recognized that that's not our best opportunity, or that's not the best shot selection for this particular situation. So we're not perfect in that regard, but we certainly have come a long way. And we have, like you said, shown a lot of maturity, and especially down the stretch. We tend to find high percentage shots when that happens. And going back to Mark Giesler, too, that you mentioned, going back the last 8 games, dating actually back to the last time we played Heritage Hills, he's averaging 20 points a game over our last 8 games. So he has really stepped up his game and had a double-double the other night against Forest Park, and with rebounds and scoring. And I'm sorry, against Horse Park, he ends on Heritage Hills, rebounds and scoring, and has just really developed into one of the premier forwards in Southern Indiana.
Yeah, I thought he's played real well, and I thought your guys have done a good job of screening and him taking the time to wait on the screens and read them and get to the flashes and get where he needs to be. I also thought they've done a really good job of getting some backside boards, some second chances. And I really think Nick Gobert has just improved throughout the year. And I'm not saying he wasn't a good player. It just seems like he's, you know, that he was in football and he's gotten through that part of it. And he's just become smoother on the court. And I think his frustration level has changed in that, you know, things are coming a little bit easier for him. And it's just helped his overall game. So when I look at those guys, that's why I feel good about Jasper. Of course, I love Jasper, just being from there and coaching there. But I feel good about your opportunity to continue to move through the tournament. We just talked with Coach Friedman from DuBois, and he talked about the game they play tonight, Wood Memorial. They played them a little bit earlier in the season. He called it a trap game because they beat them. You're playing Mitchell, and Mitchell's kind of, I guess you could call it a trap game. You played them at home, you beat them, but that was a close game until the fourth quarter.
Well, actually, early in the fourth quarter, Mitchell took the lead, I believe 43-42 or something like that. So, you know, they've got a couple of young men on, and the Alex Spear and the Wyckoff kid. I think they scored 46 points against his first time out, and those two combined had 38. So the Spear kid, I know, hit six threes against us, and Wyckoff had 18 points, I think, all from two-point range. And those, you know as well as I do in the game of basketball, it just takes one, and in the worst case scenario, two players that get hot and are throwing the ball in the bucket to really change the scope of the game. So, in a way, I'm glad that that we had a chance to play Mitchell, and I'm glad they took us down the wire, because hopefully it shows our young men that you have to respect everyone and you can't overlook anyone, and that anything is possible at tournament time. And I know Mitchell's going to come up with a good game plan, and they're going to be motivated, and they're fresh and rested and ready to play. We got to make sure that we're focusing on Mitchell and not looking ahead to Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. And you know, at this point, you can never look ahead. And sometimes that's easier for coaches to understand and more difficult for kids, because they're listening to mom and dad and grandpa and brothers and sisters and the guys at school and everybody else. But when you look at this team down the stretch, you've won the games you needed to win. You had a nice win over Ligoti. We talked about Giesler. I mentioned Nick Gobert. Who are a couple other guys who've kind of stepped up, come to the surface a little bit? Because at tournament time, you and I both know that's a critical point. Who's the guys that are going to step up and play for you? Maybe somebody that hasn't, maybe somebody that has been consistent. Who are a couple of guys who've kind of come up and improved their play down the stretch for you?
Well, I'd just like to, you know, comment on Nick Gobert again, because you already have. But I agree with you. Nick is really a baseball player and football player who plays basketball. And he's so competitive, and he does so many things defensively for us. He, for the second year in a row, is leading us in assists. So he hands out the ball a lot for us and takes some really big shots for us when we need them. And this provides a lot of leadership and intensity for us. And so can't tell you enough, you know, how proud I am of Nick Gobert and how he's developed. And there's no one on the team that wants to win more than Nick. And I'm sure sitting in the stands, it's easy to see that. He's probably the kind of kid that if you're playing ping pong, he's fighting you to beat you as bad as he can. So he's just got a lot of competitive spirit. You know, Cole Summersign, who we've already mentioned too, about 40 steals on the year. He's second in assists for us, 53 assists, and this is his first year playing guard on the varsity level. We had him in forward last year, so Cole's not a great ball handler, but he's making smart decisions, and he's knocked down a couple big shots on Tuesday night, and he's our defensive specialist. And, you know, Cole is also super competitive. He's a football player playing basketball, and now that he's got a little experience, he's playing very well. You can't overlook Nate Messier, who has been to the foul line 126 times already this year. He's 83 for 126 from the foul line. He's 18 for 40 from the three-point line. That's 45%. So Nate does just a lot of tremendous things for us as well, and also a very competitive young man.
You know, Coach, I like Nate. I like his quickness. It's the kind of quickness that, you know, some people are fast and some people are quick, and he's a little bit of both. And if you put a weak pass out there or you dribble that ball soft, he's going to cause you problems. Or if you're not down in your defensive stance, he's going to beat you.
That's right, and he gets to the bucket quite a bit. And I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, we were 3-6 early in the year, and we were in a four-game losing streak at that point. We ended up 3-6, and that's when Nate was hurt. And we weren't going to the foul line. I think we went to the foul line twice at Evansville Central during that stretch when Nate didn't play. And obviously that's more than a coincidence. We were not at our best when Nate wasn't healthy and when Nate wasn't playing. And he missed two complete games in the better part of two games, including our Vincennes Lincoln game. And so we were 3-6. And since Nate has been back and since he's been getting healthy, since that point we're 9-3. So we finished the year strong, and Nate's obviously a huge part of that.
Coach, as you look at the second game, you got Vincennes going up against Washington, and I'm not asking you to look ahead, but I know Vincennes has had some problems with some personnel. Is their team intact? Are they missing a few people? Can you give our listeners a little bit of info on where that's at, or what you can tell us, or what you can't?
Well, I wish I had something specific. I know they had, I believe, four guys suspended. But as far as when their suspension's in, I've heard what you've heard probably, and I just don't know. I have not heard it, you know, from the horse's mouth, so I don't I believe that they've got a couple guys that are going to be eligible for tonight's games, but I really can't comment much because I just don't know. And it's an unfortunate situation for them to be in because they have a very nice basketball team, and, you know, you hate to see that happen to young men at the end of a season like that. And so I hope they get it worked out, but I just don't feel comfortable saying too much about, you know, what they have and what they don't.
Oh, I'm with you on that. And Coach Miller has his hatchets playing pretty well down the stretch. That second game, that hatchet Lincoln game, is coming together as going to be a pretty good game.
Absolutely. And you got a couple of things in Washington's favor. One of them is a big one, and the most obvious one is Gene Miller. He's a great coach, been doing this, I think this is his 38th season as a head coach, and he gets to prepare him on his home floor at the Hatchet House, and where there's so much history and tradition, and, you know, their crowd to come out and support them. So they've got some big things in their favor, and they're a lot like us, and they've had to fight tooth and nail for everything they've gotten this year, and they're a defensive first team. They're very defensive minded as well. They can actually get after people, and so they make the sectional the next couple nights very interesting for anybody who would have to play them.
Well, I know you're pretty excited about, being, you know, I was talking early on the show. Each coach is different, but, boy, I hated that early week game because if your team didn't get it done, you had to sit there and go through the whole week of school knowing you lost and fester about it and think about it. Then you had to sit through the sectional because we always went back. We always took our kids back to the sectional, and so they understood what it was all about. But boy, it's nice to win that game, especially against a really good team, and be ready to go in the semifinal on Friday.
Well, it sure has made the week a lot more enjoyable. You're right about that. And there's a lot of excitement in the hallways here at school. The morale at practice on Wednesday and Thursday among our players was great, and it's just a good feeling. You know, winning breeds good feelings, and, you know, just like the opposite, losing breeds negative feelings. So we're just we feel fortunate to have beaten Heritage Hills, and we're trying to enjoy it the best we can and also to prepare to move on the best we can.
Well, Coach, I wish you luck this tonight and through the rest of the weekend, and hopefully we'll be talking to you next week as you get ready to prepare for a regional.
We're hoping so, too.
Thanks a lot for being with us, Coach John Gable of the Jasper Wildcats. They play tonight at Washington against the Mitchell Blue Jackets. Big game, second game, so Vincennes Lincoln and Washington Hatchets to get into Who Wants to Play on Saturday. Again, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Yes.
It says here you're blonde, are you?
If you don't remember, perhaps Mr. Falk will.
Brunette.
We can play the tape again. Maybe it's on there.
I'm a brunette.
Thank you. Now, let's see. Weight 105?
Yeah, in your bra.
Your Honor, I object.
You would.
Bastard.
Hey, quiet. Overruled. Weight.
118.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show, and it's time for the rant. We are joined by DC Broadcasting Sports Director Kurt Gooksell. Gook, how's it going?
Hey, guys, what's happening? I've enjoyed your interviews with the coaches. It's great. Those guys are right in the middle of it, and it should be good tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe, that snippet coming back to the rant, that was pretty rant itself, so wow. But we're back, and Kurt, I've got a little bit of what you had early in the year down in my throat, and I'm just trying to hang through the show, but as always, I'm a trooper, and I keep talking.
Yeah, there's no other way to approach it.
Hey,
you have that, but just that you're
let's think about this. Let's think about what's going on this weekend. We can say jeep, 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 jeep. We can say Southridge Raiders, Southridge Raiders, and we can say give me a J, A, S. They're all alive. They're all playing. They've all got a chance to move in to Who Wants to Play on Saturday night. And that's got to be great for people in the local area getting ready for basketball.
Yeah, if there's anything that's good about the current setup, this is it, because the three schools that are still left are going to enjoy perhaps a nice Saturday night. Hopefully all three will.
You know, Kurt, I was pretty excited to talk to Coach Friedman at Dubois, and it's not that I didn't think that Terry and his group had a chance to win, but I thought day school had improved their schedule tremendously this year. They were playing good basketball. They were coming off some tournament success from last year. I just thought that was a great win for Northeast Dubois, and not having to face Northeast Dubois, I can be a lot more excited for them. Because I love the tradition at Dubois, and that's just a great win for the Jeeps.
Oh, it most definitely was. And, you know, I did the ball game down there, and I listened to Coach Friedman. He told me before the game that, you know, they're very talented, and they have some guys, that LeGrone kid's very good. You look at them out on the floor, you can tell, man, they've got some guys. But in the end, Northeast Dubois, just they were tougher. In the third and fourth quarters, they absolutely got after it defensively. They pounded it inside to Tyler Hawth, their 6'4 junior postman. He had 12 in the fourth quarter. He had three and ones in that stretch and converted on all of them. And they out-toughed them, and that's the way the Jeeps play, and that's the way Terry's coached. And, you know, they hit the skids a little earlier because of injuries and whatnot, but they just keep at it. And it's just their approach, and it's the way they play. And it did surprise me maybe by the final margin. But I was looking at the way they played against Jasper on Thursday night of last week. They won an overtime game against Pike Central on Friday where they had to tough it out. And that's exactly what they did against day school. So that was very impressive.
Yeah, you know, what I told people in the Evansville area was what they're playing against is not just a team but a tradition. And it's a tournament-tested tradition. And even though they haven't won a tremendous number of sectionals or anything, they've always been battlers in the tournament, and they've gotten some wins when nobody thought they would. They've gotten to games that people didn't think they would, and obviously they brought a little bit different moxie over to Wood Memorial, and day school got a taste of tournament basketball, Dubois County style.
Yeah, they did, and they got a good dose of a rabid and giant fan base, too. And that didn't hurt anything either, and it'll be even better tonight and hopefully tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, never underestimate the importance of the fans at tournament time. We've also got Southridge, a big game tonight against Perry Central. Very, very good basketball team. Talked with Coach earlier after his baby appointment, doctor appointment, which is probably more important.
There's a lot going on. But I tell you what, you'd love to go to one of his practices and watch him prepare a team and the way they approach things. I mean, he's really good, and he's got great focus. I mean, the way that they do things, and I know he's very excited because.
Just talking to him, I felt his emotion and his approach. And yes, no doubt, I was excited. And he's definitely going in the right direction. They got thumped earlier in the year. We talked a little bit about that. Your impressions of that thumping? Was it back in January? Perry Central, Southridge.
Yeah, it was in January. Southridge didn't take care of the basketball, and they got a kind of up and down game with them, and really didn't use their size. And just didn't play well. It was one of those games where you just, as a coach or as a player, you look back on it because we were just not in sync. It was almost a perfect storm. Bad for your team, really good for their team because they are really good and they attack you so many different ways, speaking of Perry Central. But, you know, it was just one of those deals. And I don't think Southridge just played that type of bad game since, although they did lose the Wood Memorial. It was a different type of loss. And one thing about those three losses that Southridge had, I think they learned from each one of those. And that thing at Perry Central, you know, I'm still looking back on it and going, as Terry Friedman said, he didn't think that they were 27 points better than Wood. I don't think Perry Central is that much better than Southridge, if they even are, based on what that score was. So, you know, you've been down that road before, and you've turned the tables later on. And you just don't know. You're kind of look back, you know, that was not our team that played that night. But, you know, who knows?
It's interesting because DuBois has Wood, who they recently played. Southridge has Perry Central, who they played earlier and had a tough game against. And Jasper will play Mitchell tonight, a team that they played just a few weeks ago what was a decent game, at least through most of the first three quarters. And as Coach Gable said, they took a short-lived lead in the fourth quarter. So we've got teams who are meeting up with teams they've recently played or had an experience with. So they've got some knowledge of their opponent. And the big question, and I always feel this way, is how the players are reacting to what they did and to where they're at now. It's a different time. It's a different game. It's a different moment. And the players need to be in that frame of mind that this is the game, not the other game. And they've got to be ready to do all of the little things. Block out, shot fake, V-cut, strong passes, all the little things come tournament time.
Well, there's no doubt about it. It's interesting that the situation that each team is in. You know, DuBois won their game, so are they going to become overconfident, or do they think that, you know, we're going to do this again? Southridge, on the flip side, because they lost the previous game, you know, they kind of, you know, throw it out of the window and say, you know, we're the better team and we're going to play like it this time. And it just how's the mindset going to be? Back in the day, when guys didn't lack for confidence, you know, they would go in there and take care of business in one of those games. But in this day and age when nobody has confidence and everybody's trying to, you know, everybody needs pumped up, you know, how will Southridge react after getting beat that bad? But, I have no doubt that both staffs are going to take care of whatever they need to do in this situation, in Jasper's case as well, to get their guys in the right mindset because those guys are good and they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and at Southridge in the second game, you've got Modern Day and North Posey going at it. North Posey's played better as of late. Modern Day is always a little bit – you can't go by their record because of the schedule that they play. Just some quick insight and thoughts on those two teams, at least how you see it at this point.
Well, Modern Day is really good when they play with their big man Walsh. When they go through him, they're pretty good. When they take quick shots, not so much. North Posey is a team that just really battles you. They're not, you know, great basketball players, a great team, but they got some hard-nosed guys that played football and whatnot, and their coach is young and energetic, and they try to do things right. So, you know, that's a game that I think Modern Day will probably win based on how they played the other night against Forest Park, in which they, you know, did a pretty nice job. So, yeah, I'm looking for Modern Day to win that second game.
You know, as we switch away from high school basketball, Hoosier Hysteria, and folks, please get out and go to the games. They're
yeah.
definitely worth going. They're a lot of fun, a lot of emotion, make you feel like a kid again. Let's go over to college basketball. We'll have a probably on Monday, Kurt, we're going to have a shakeup in the rankings. I got to believe that as we get ready to end the live segment of the Coach K and Joe Show, we've got a minute left. You can stay with us and join us on the podcast, which will be available just a few minutes after the show. So if you're listening live when we go off, go to the podcast in a few minutes from now. You'll be able to listen to the rest of the show. IU hits a hiccup in the road at Minnesota, physically dominated on the boards. Now I'm going to tell you something. It was a game to the end. No matter how good Minnesota looked or how poorly somebody might think IU looked, the game was a game until the last 30 seconds. But that's going to cause a little shakeup. Do you see the pollsters giving Gonzaga the respect? And since they did win against BYU, do you see them putting them number one on Monday?
Yeah, I do. But in the grand scheme of things, does it really matter?
Well, I think it does if you're Gonzaga. And I'm going to tell you why. They've never been number one before. They've been working as a program for the last 15 years to get to a pinnacle. Does it make their season? No. But it's great for their program. It's great for their recruiting. It's great for their school in general, people knowing who they are. So I'm pretty excited for them. I think Mark Few and Dan Munson before that did a great job, and the fruits of their labor are going to get paid here. But, you know, it's just been tough to defend that number one ranking this year. And then Duke, they go down to Virginia.
Yeah, it's, you know, you go into other teams' buildings, and I mean, basketball, especially college basketball, it's amazing what the playing on the road. And, we've never been there. We've never coached a team in Division I. You've coached in high school, and nobody's played. None of us three have played in a Division I basketball game. But it must be a big deal. And as a fan, there's an outside, you go, well, what's the deal? The court, the baskets, or whatever? It's not like a baseball field where everything's different, or a golf course, which everything's different. Basketball, as we found out in the movie Hoosiers, it's the same. But in that home court, there's something about that. And personally, as a fan, as somebody that follows it a lot, Virginia beating Duke last night, you know, maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. You
might be right, Kurt, and I think that it's only been the last, since we've had the RPI and all that extra stuff,
right. But
we've really gotten nervous or really excited about when a team doesn't win every time out. Because I can remember, and I still feel this way, so what if the team lost? I think IU's still a great team. In the scope of college basketball this year, I still think they're mentally tough enough to make a tournament run. I don't think Duke, until they get and Kelly may be back, but if he is, he's not at full strength. But they're not the same team without him. And so I kind of look at it a little bit differently than a lot of people do. Gonzaga, they're going to be number one. They've earned it. They played anybody, anywhere who wanted to play them. They were willing to do it. But I don't think a loss, two losses, three losses, or four losses excludes you from a chance to win a national championship.
Well, and I don't either, because as long as you lose to a team that's in the upper part of the division team, or on your level, so to speak, but I can't say the same thing about that Michigan thing the other night. You can't lose that game. There's some stuff askew with their situation right now. And that's a game that you can't lose. I contended at the time that you couldn't lose to Illinois if you were IU, but the proof has come back later that Illinois is pretty decent. But, back when you used to figure out the schedules in the 80s and 90s, you'd walk down, we're not going to win this road game. We're not going to win that road game. And that's just how it was. So, I'm one that doesn't flip out about losing on the road. Even if I was a Duke fan, I'm an Indiana fan, or whatever fan I am, If you lose to a good team on the road, just chalk it up and move on. And the knock on Indiana, you listen to all these national people, well, because they don't do their homework, they say that they can't win away from Assembly Hall. Well, they went to Michigan, they went to Ohio State, they've won a few other places. And the tournament's not going to be played on somebody else's home court either. It's not going to be the Assembly Hall, but it's not going to be at Cameron Indoor, or it's not going to be, you know, anybody else's home court. It's going to be on a neutral site, and that makes me breathe a little easier.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you brought the Michigan thing up. I mean, I get, you know, people complain that I'm too hard on them, but, you know, Kurt, I've said this all year. I just saw a chink in the armor of this team. And the thing that worries me now about Michigan, and maybe you have different thoughts on it, you know, you say something's askew. I agree. Boy, for the first time, I saw in this Penn State loss, I questioned the mental toughness of this team. And if I'm Beeline and his staff, you got to be shaking your head and say, you know, look, we've got some deficiencies. Our inside game isn't quite there. Sometimes we struggle defending when we should. But now to lose to Penn – listen, I don't care. Penn State should not have beat Michigan. If you don't like me saying that, let me know about it. But Penn State should not have beat Michigan. And I think you got to question the mental toughness of that Michigan team. And that's the thing to be worried about this late in the season.
In all fairness to Michigan, they had one of the toughest stretches than anybody had, starting with that Indiana thing on the road. Then they had to play Michigan State. They had to go to Wisconsin, and they had that half-court deal or whatever. But, and you're right. I gave them the benefit of doubt during that because they were missing their big man. They still don't have Jordan Morgan in full strength. But the Penn State thing just makes me shake my head. And it just seems like that they may be tuning out. They've gone from moving the ball, running that John Beeline stuff that it's pretty good, to high ball screens, running the clock down, just forcing up shots at the end of the clock. To that, and that's not John Beeline basketball, and that's what makes me wonder if there's guys not thinking about the pros or where they're going to go, or is this guy coming back, or, you know, are we recruiting better player, you know, all that stuff. And I don't know that. But, again, you can't lose this late in the season to a team like Penn State. And that's where I'm going with this, saying that something may not be going on like they want it to go.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that you bring up is the way they've changed the discipline in their offense.
Uh-huh.
You know, I noticed this a few games back. Instead of trying to find a better shot, they just extended their shot 5 feet out, deeper out. You know, they just took it as soon as they saw it open. And that worried me late game, late half situations, shot clock situations. You know, they just pulled up 5 feet further out and said, well, I'm open. Well, you know what? You're not open. It ain't a good shot. You ain't hot tonight. It ain't happening for you. Move the ball. Find some penetration. Get a kick. Do something that could possibly get you a layup or a three-point play. And that's why I am wondering, is there some mental toughness issues with Michigan right now?
Well, you know, and what's great about college basketball, at least for the next couple of weeks, you get another opportunity to come back and make a statement. You know, you get Saturday, you get a week from Sunday when Indiana comes rolling in there, and you've got a chance to go on an upward swing in that Big Ten tournament or the ACC tournament or the Big East or whatever. So, you know, that's why even if you're a Michigan fan, you get a little concerned, but, you know, they put some wins in the bank. Now you got to get better or you'll fall off that cliff like they did last year. Yeah.
Let's talk about Indiana State real quick. I know we have a lot of listeners around the area that are Tree fans or at least know of Indiana State. Here's a team, Kurt, that whether we believed it or not was getting still a week ago. Was getting some recognition as possibly being an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. But they can't take care of business. They can't win games that they should win. So I guess the proof is in the pudding. The cream rises to the top. The clarity comes in to the bowl. Indiana State really had things in their hands to do something with, and they proved that they're not ready to do it.
No, and they got a young team. They'll bring everybody back next year. So they may have been ahead of schedule earlier this year, but they had more wins over top 25 teams when they played them than anybody else had, when they had that big stretch early when they beat Miami, which that win keeps on getting bigger and bigger. and played good basketball. They went to Wichita State and won all those. So did Evansville the other night. So that was a great win for Marty and his guys. But Indiana State, they unexplicably lost to Southern, a horrible team. They lose to Drake at home, horrible. They blew a game with Wichita State at home the other night that they should have won. And now they lose the Drake game because one of their better players, Manny Arop, got suspended indefinitely. So that's the day before they lose to Drake. So they got all kinds of things going on. So they go from an NCAA team. Those guys that were doing those brackets or those, you know, fabricated brackets said, you know, they're in before they start losing all these games. And then you get to the slippery slope where even if you got an above 500 record, that doesn't guarantee you even an NIT bid because sometimes they take bigger schools that are around 500 from the ACC, the Big Ten and whatever. And then you get knocked down to that intramural tournament that they have or those couple intramural tournaments that they have. So they go from NCAA tournament team to maybe not even getting in the NIT, which is sad because when they play, they're pretty good. But if they got a lot of other stuff going on with some of those younger guys, that's not good for the Fighting Trees.
And, you know, Kurt, that's the interesting thing. The schedule they played early, they were so fortunate. They won those games. They knocked them off. Here comes Miami up the ladder, becoming one of the best teams. I mean, they literally, Jerry Palm of CBS Sports.com on this show, not more than a week ago, said Indiana State's in right now. And,
yeah.
And I saw them lose to Drake. Whether they got a player out or not, you got to take – I mean,
yeah.
This was huge to be an at-large bid from a conference that you're not really winning the conference. I mean, talk about strength of schedule being an advantage for them. I mean, it really was. What a gift they had in their hands.
Well, that's right, because not many times as a mid-major that you get an opportunity. Some of those people won't play you, but they went to an exact tournament and they played Miami. They beat Ole Miss, who was really good early in the season, and they had everything that some of those mid-majors could never get. Not only did they play them, they won those games. And then, you know, they just fall in the conference. And I was there last Saturday. They won a good bracket buster game against Iona, won it in the last second. So you're thinking, okay, we're getting this thing back on track. Then the next thing you know, you get some distractions and you lose the Drake. So, I mean, Greg Lansing scratching his head, getting more gray hairs as the games go on.
Well, I'm going to try to save my voice for this weekend, if go to a few games and yell and scream. Before we end the show for this week, Kurt, give us just what you got going this weekend. We know it's sectional. Give us a plug for you, and we'll say goodbye for the week.
Coach, it's going to be fun tonight at Southridge. I'll have that Perry Southridge game, WBDC 100.9 FM, 6:30 Eastern. Great, 18-3 Perry, 17-3 Southridge. Then we're fortunate because we have the air signal available after the Southridge game. We'll have Northeast Dubois and Wood Memorial from over there. Steve Kolb and Jeep baseball coach Brian Kirchhoff will have that game, so our listeners will be able to hear the Jeeps as well exclusively on our station, WBDC. So, and then tomorrow, who knows what's going to happen. You know, Jasper, of course, is in action. We hope everybody's playing, and we'll be able to cover games again tomorrow. So, I can't wait to get over there tonight. And I'm fortunate enough when they split the sectional and created this mess a few years ago or a little bit ago that I still get to go to Southridge. And there's still something about the semifinal night over there with fans and stuff that's going to make it neat, especially with Southridge and Perry playing. The only thing better would be they play the second game and have other fans in there as well. But there's something still to be said about Huntingburg Memorial Gym, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's going to be a great weekend. Before we end, Joe, jump back in here. I do want to mention to our listeners, we appreciate so much your support of the show. Last week's show, we had over 6,000 listeners live and podcast. So we really appreciate the numbers continue to grow. And obviously, we want to talk about the things and rant about the things that you want to hear. So please let us know. Joe, it's going to be a big weekend for a lot of people. I'm going to try to save my voice. Take us home, buddy.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a big weekend. I'm going to be listening to Kurt at Southridge and to Walt for the Jasper game tonight because I've got to work at the Jasper home show. that was a bad date.
Yeah, great scheduling on that.
Yeah, that's a great scheduling
on there.
But I'm going to be a great weekend.
If I say stuff like that for another rant.
Exactly. I could rant, but I won't. But, yeah. Just as you guys said, people need to go out, support their team, even if their team's not, just going and watching a sectional game, just listening to the coaches today, listening to you two.
That was great.
The excitement is, it's an exciting time, and people need to go out. And Donnie's mentioned this before. The amount of money you pay and the entertainment you get, you just can't beat it. So,
yeah, and a Coke's only a couple bucks, where you got to pay $7 if you go to the Ford Center.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Coach, is Roland ready to come out of retirement yet?
I wish he would. I sent him a text the other day. He didn't respond. I'm going to send another one this weekend. We'll see if we can get him out. He needs to come play. I need to have something to look forward to, Kurt.
Yeah, my Brett Favre theory is getting a lot of legs. I think I even heard Tim Kurchin talk about it the other day.
Really? Well, we'll give you all the credit when it's done. Kurt, I don't know if you heard the start of the show. We had Andy Noblet on. We talked about the enrollment coming out from the IHSAA.
Mm.
It looks like Jasper is definitely on the line and could end up 4A. So for those listening, it would be a different sectional for Jasper next year. So get in, go over to Washington and take this one in, because he may not be there next year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I hope we can talk further about that in the coming weeks, because that's going to be a whole different set of circumstances. I think we'll be able to once some of this high school stuff dies down. We need some things to talk about. It's very, very interesting. Not only the grouping of schools, but that comes into who hosts, who gets what, who has to travel where. I know Jasper's situation, if they would be lumped in the Evansville area, are they going to make five schools come up this way, or are they just going to very easily make Jasper go down there to play in the basketball and the baseball, which would be a shame with the facilities that we have in this area, and somewhere with Southridge or Laguardia or wherever. But I think it's going to be very interesting as they break it down in the coming weeks of where everybody's going to go. I know they threw panic into situation on Sectional Tuesday of all times. Why couldn't they just let everybody enjoy it? Maybe they were trying to do it so nobody would pay attention to it. But I thought that was really bad timing with that. But anyway, hopefully, I know we will be able to talk about that later.
We'll get Bobby Cox on here, and we'll start the rant early, and you'll be on, and we'll be able to do whatever we need to say. And I kid you not on that. Joe, take us home.
Okay, guys. Good luck to all area teams this weekend. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.jaspertodayonline.com or go to iTunes to listen to podcasts of past shows. See you next week.